Let me just ask you a question. Did you mean that? Did you mean that song that you just sang? Did you really mean that? Did you really mean that? Sure you did. Because that's your heart. I want to be where you are, Lord. Before I get into my ministry, I just want to share something about preaching. Something that we always tell our younger ministers. We tell anybody, I remind myself. Every time a minister gets in the pulpit, he ought to feel like that's going to be his last opportunity to speak to the people. And if he'll take that kind of feeling, then what he has to say will be very important. He'll feel it in the importance in his heart, and the congregation will feel like it's something important coming from the throne of God. That's one of the great keys to the anointing. Whether you have 3 people that you're talking to, whether you have 500 people you're talking to, if you feel like if you enter the pulpit like this is the last opportunity I have to speak to these people, then your message will carry some weight. And so a good preacher, and you have a good pastor, Nathan, and you have, and Nathan has a good pastor, me, you pray and you seek the face of God, what to minister. So what I'm going to share with you tonight is prayer. What I've prayed about, it's not going to be about prayer, but that last song that we sang just keyed right into the message. So go with me, if you would, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse number 8 and 9. And I'm glad I have my projector lady with me tonight to help me. Thank you, Hosanna, because I'm going to go through some scriptures. She'll be able to throw them up there where you can follow. But I want you to listen carefully to just two scriptures. Two scriptures, one scripture in the Bible can be filled full of light, awesome things that God wants to speak to us. So in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" It says that they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. There's a lot to the scripture. Adam and Eve had already lost something. They were already under a sense of condemnation. Aren't you glad Jesus came? Aren't you glad the Bible says that therefore now no condemnation? But they had condemnation. They had a great sense of guilt upon them. And they were going to be losing something. Something very special. Now, I want to bring up a couple of Hebrew words just so that you'll appreciate maybe a little more. The word for sound is the Hebrew word kol, K-O-L-E or Q-O-L, either way, spelled either way. It means voice. It is usually translated as voice. So they heard the voice of the Lord God in the cool of the day, a specific time called the cool of the day, except the word cool is very, it's a spiritual word, very interesting word. It is the word ruach. The Holy Spirit is called the cool spirit or the Holy Spirit. Ruach HaKodesh. And so the cool of the day was spiritual time. It was a moment of spirituality for them. And so what were they going to lose? Adam and Eve were going to lose given spiritual moments. Times, special time when the Lord would be speaking directly into their lives at particular times. And the Adam race would lose the divine touch. And they were going to trade the presence of the Lord and the voice of God for rituals and for sacrifices. That was going to be with their life. And the only speaking that God, that they would hear from God until Jesus came would be in the prophets. There would be no intimacy, one-on-one personhood, voice of God, Holy Spirit, but only in the prophets. And that's why you read in the Old Testament, God said to Noah, God said to Abram, he spoke to the prophets. But you see a shift in the New Testament. And if you go to Hebrews chapter 1, and I'm going to have just a word of prayer in just a moment, but I wanted to give you this introduction before I did anything else. If you look at Hebrews chapter 1, and listen to the first three verses, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory, and the exact representation of his nature. And I want you to listen carefully to this next little part of a sentence. And upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Did you notice in the middle of verse 3, it says that he upholds all things by the word, that's the voice. That's the Greek word rhema, which means God speaking or the spoken word. He upholds all things by speaking, by the word of his power. And so the wonder of Christianity, the wonder of your life, is how that in your walk with the Lord speaks into your life. Can you say amen? That's the awesome. That is the beauty, how he continues to speak into your life. And I'm going to talk about that. I just want to share on the garden scene. And so our subject today is lessons from the garden. By the way, before we pray, I want to mention to you, the early Christian writers believed that Calvary was a walk back to the garden. And they wrote about that. They felt like man had digressed and digressed and digressed. And now the footsteps of redemption began in the garden of Jesus when he prayed the Abba Father, went to the cross in the resurrection, and that his footprints now are bringing us back into the garden. Now, David talked about that, the footprints of the Lord. It's a very interesting, awesome subject we have look at this evening. So let's just pray. Amen. Father, we bless your name and honor your name and honor you, Lord. Thank you for this privilege of coming together on this Wednesday evening, Lord, midweek service where we can just be enlivened again by your Holy Spirit, while we can sense the awesomeness of hearing your word and while you speak to our hearts. Another divine moment that you give the church when you call us to come together in faith. I thank you, Lord, for the great privilege of ministering the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to take notes, let me tell you where we're going to go. A lot of you like to take notes. I'm going to just begin by talking about the Word of God. Number one is the Word of God. Secondly, I want to talk to you about the garden of the Lord. The Word of God. Then we'll talk about the garden of the Lord. And then thirdly, I want to talk to you about the testimony of trust. The testimony of trust. So those are the three areas we're going to be going with. The Word of God, the garden of the Lord, and the testimony of trust. Let's just begin with the Word of God. The Bible opens, in the beginning, God. And it said that the earth was formless and void, that it was a chaotic condition. Then it says, and the Spirit of God, word spirit there, ruach, where it was translated cool a little later, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the deep. Then God said, let there be light. There'd be no light in your life if God hadn't spoken to your life. God said, let there be light. And the point is that all of the divine moments in your life are going to wrap themselves around God's presence and God's speaking. This is why the church is ordained. I'll talk a little later about that. And that's why it's very important to understand scriptures like John 6:63. Go with me if you would, please, or just look at it behind me, to listen to what Jesus is actually saying. And we're talking about the Word of God. John 6:63, Jesus said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. They are life words. They are spirit words. They are spiritual words. Now, when Jesus said this, he was identifying himself with the God of creation. If you back up to John chapter 1 and just listen to the beginning of this wonderful book, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Well, the Greek word there means it had no power over the light. It could not control it. Katalabano is the Greek word there. I mean, couldn't withstand the light. All it takes is a little bitty flashlight, folks. You can have the darkest of the room, turn that flashlight on. The darkness has no power over that light. It's telling us something like that. The darkness has no defense. And this is how people are saved. Now, we know that. God can take a life that is chaotic, in ruin, messed up, wrecked, and absolutely transform it into a life of beauty and peace. And he does it when he says, let there be light. Isn't that true? And he does it when he says, let there be light. So he transforms life, brings life to us. And if you go to 2 Corinthians, Paul actually says that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 5, Paul said, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The face is an interesting word there in the Greek. The presence, prosopon, I believe it is. But we have this treasure in earthly vessels, in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God, not from ourselves. So it's not a religious thing. It's a divine moment. It's a divine interchange. It's an awesome thing that takes place when God brings his word to us in the gospel, and the light shines in our hearts, and that's how we're saved, and we respond to the life that's in that light. That light gives us life in our hearts. Amen. And so the point is this, that Jesus was, is, and will always be the voice of God in your life. He is the Word of God. He'll always be the Word of God. If you notice in the last book of the Bible, it really gives us a wonderful statement in Revelation chapter 19, verse number 13, Revelation 19 and 13, says he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. You see, this is what makes the gospel so powerful. This is why you've often heard me say, I only have one message. I can preach it 10,000 different ways, but I only have one message. I preach Jesus. And if you preach Jesus and preach the gospel, preach the thing concerning Christ, what's in that gospel message is the power of light, power of life, power to bring life. And the apostles knew this. They knew that the gospel was a message that was endued in heaven with power, put into their hearts to speak through their mouths. And when they proclaimed the gospel, no matter where they were, heathen hearts, black hearts, wrecked lives, ruined lives, chaotic lives, their hearts could become like a garden of life and peace. Don't you love to talk about that? See, the apostles knew this. If you go to 1 John 1, I want to give you a couple of scriptures, then I'll get right into my next area. But I love talking about, I love preaching on this particular subject. It's awesome. 1 John 1, chapter 1, verse number 1 and 2. What was from the beginning? What we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested. Where was it manifested? Where was that divine life manifested? Manifested in Jesus Christ. Amen. The life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also. I can almost feel John trembling as he writes this, it seems to me. So that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. What an awesome thing to be brought back into that lineage that Adam and Eve had lost. Then one more scripture is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul talks about the power of the gospel. Verse number 13. I'm going to share this with you, and then I want to move to my second area, but listen carefully. Paul says, now he's talking to people that were idolatrous people. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. You don't work the word works itself in your heart. Yesterday, I went to get the car washed. We were over in Alexander taking Abby to the doctor. I went to the place to get the car washed. Abby had thrown up in the car. Bless her heart. But when I was paying for the ticket, the lady said, how are you doing? I said, if I'm doing any better, I couldn't stand myself. She looked at me kind of funny. She said, well, that's wonderful to hear that. She said, where do you go to church? I said, well, go to Christian Challenge. I said, where do you go? She said, well, I go to Christian Worship Center. I said, did you know God didn't come to give us a religion? He came to give us a relationship, and her eyes got that big. And she said, I never heard that before. That is awesome. Well, I wasn't trying to be coy or cute with her, but folks, that has to be nailed down. You know, we need to get out of this religious mindset and get into this relationship, hearing from God personally mindset, and you learn how to do that. I mean, when you first come to the Lord, you don't have everything together. And you are going to make some mistakes, and you are going to stumble. You're going to miss God in some things every once in a while. But He's always tutoring us to bring us back to this place of the garden experience. And that's where I want to take you now, because it said Adam and Eve heard the sound, that is the voice, of the Lord God walking in the garden. Now, let's talk about the garden of the Lord. Where does our salvation come from? It comes from the voice. Right? You know, you can join all the churches you want and be lost as a goose and be fleshly and whatever. But until you hear the voice of the gospel, till you hear Christ in the gospel, till you hear Him calling, where are you, but without condemnation, drawing you. That voice is calling, and is calling on this, that sound has gone out on this planet and goes out on this planet. But until you hear the voice of God, and have that response. So it all comes back to the voice. I want you to keep that in view just for a few moments. But the point is that the voice of Jesus is in the gospel. When the message of the death and the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, the glorification, the lordship of Jesus Christ is preached, there's an awesome thing that happens in that message to people who are listening. Paul said that when the gospel was preached, Jesus was publicly portrayed before you as crucified. The Holy Spirit makes that message vivid to the minds and hearts of particular people that are listening. Others may shut Him down, but those who are listening, He opens their hearts to respond to the gospel. And so that message is the word of life to us. And if you go to 1 Peter, I'm taking you several scriptures. I'm not wanting to hold you very long, folks, but I want you to at least get this. You go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and listen very carefully, because we're dealing with this issue of the garden, but we're talking about right now where salvation comes from. If you look at 1 Peter 1, verse 23, "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all grass is, all flesh is like grass." Look at your flesh, folks. It's like grass. When I started Christian Challenge, I was 35 years old. I'm 67, and I'm looking forward to the garden. One day they'll plant this old body on Camel Creek Cemetery, but don't, and if you read an obituary, Buddy Martin died, just say that's a lie. I ain't never going to die. I'm going to the garden of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But my flesh, I see little liver spots every once in a while. I see wrinkles where I didn't have them before, and I have creaks in my knee joints. And don't worry, you going to come there? That's the direction we all take. Whatever. "All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off." That's right. We start sagging and bagging. But the pardon me, it's just the way it works, folks. We do, all of us, men and women. "But the but the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which was preached to you. You are a living forever being because of the word of God. The voice of the Creator that spoke into your heart brought life into your being, and now you have eternal life." And it all came through the voice. It all came through the message. And this is why, folks, listen. When you come to church, a lot of people don't always understand this. Sometimes you don't feel like coming to church, but you gather with the saints. This is the reason you get kind of a warm feeling. You get a comfortable feeling when the Word of God is being preached. You begin to pay attention. Why? Because God ordained that through the preaching, the teaching, the instruction of the gospel, that His presence would actually be there in a very real way, speaking to the hearts of... I don't think anybody here is like this. Probably in this place would be like this, but probably there's some churches down the road from us. People never opened their Bible, maybe till Sunday. And I'm not trying to be condemning anybody, folks, but listen. Well, for whatever it's worth, go to, I don't want to start condemning anybody, folks, but I have found that God speaks to me more through the scriptures than He does any other way. And He speaks to your heart often. But I want you to look at, this Romans chapter 10, verse 14 through 17, because not only does God speak into your heart, not only does He speak to us through the gospel message, But his voice is found in the written word. This written word becomes a living word to the child of God. And it can become a living word to the sinner. God is one that makes it alive. It's not just a historical document. It contains the voice of Jesus. I hate it when I get in a hurry to do my devotions and reading the scriptures in the morning, because it's the most important part of my day. Before I ever open the Bible, I always take a shower, brush my teeth, clean up, comb my hair, because I'm fixing to visit with the King. And I want to look pretty good, and I want to smell pretty decent when I sit down and talk to the King, because I know I'm going to meet Him in His Word. I know that. Folks, I've been around a long time, and He's never failed to meet me. I just get aggravated myself when I get in a hurry. Anyway, listen carefully to Romans 10, verse number 14. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Not everybody can preach the gospel, folks. You need to understand that there's a divine call. Everybody can testify and witness to Jesus. But when it comes to the preaching of a gospel, there's qualification that God sees has to be met. Just as it is written, that is in the book of Isaiah, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things." If it's not good news of good things, folks, it's not the gospel. God wants the good news of heaven preached into this planet concerning His Son. "However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has received, believed our report?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." Remember that word we saw earlier, that He upholds all things by the word of His power? Same word being used here. This is a living voice, God speaking into our... So faith comes when God speaks to your heart. Can we say that? Amen? Faith comes. Well, what does that have to do with the garden of the Lord? It has a lot to do with it. The Lord wants us to have specific times of communion. This is one reason He ordained the church. We have regular Sunday morning. Some churches have Sunday night. We have our Awana program. We have Wednesday night services. God ordained the church for a reason, that He's going to speak to you in ways that He cannot speak to you when you're just by yourself, because you're not listening, or you're too busy, or you're involved, or you're active in something else. So He calls the congregation to come together as a congregation. That's what the word church actually means. Ecclesia, the called out, called together people. Because Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered in My name, there I am. That's where you're going to find Me speaking in a very unusual way, is what He's saying. It's going to be in the congregation of God's people where they congregate together. That's why I thank God for, you know, in my opinion, I hate to see church troubles, folks, but I don't think you can have too many churches. There's people not going to come to Christian Challenge that'll go to Northside Baptist Church. Thank God. Let them go. I bless them in the name of Jesus, or go wherever. But God's people are commanded to gather, and there's a reason for that. It's not just because of a religious duty. It's because Shekinah is there. Because it is, you know, Jesus Christ Himself, the glory of God, it meets with His people. That's who meets with us right now. As I minister the Word of God, Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, is right here on Sunday mornings and all of our gatherings. Jesus is right here in a very special way. It doesn't mean He's not in your heart all the time. He's always in your heart. But when you gather, there's a uniqueness that Jesus is always going to be there. Amen. It said in Genesis 3:8 that He met them in the cool of the day. Now that word, I said that word, ruach, is a word usually translated spirit, but it also could be translated breath. It can also be translated wind, or can be translated spirit. Now when God met with Adam and Eve, in the context, it was a particular time. He didn't just walk around in the garden with them all the time. I mean, His presence was always there. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Because he wouldn't leave. He didn't leave us. But the point is that in the garden, there were specific times that God had set apart for Adam and Eve to be apart with Him, so He could replenish them and share with them and speak into their lives and encourage them. Did you ever notice that Jesus at times took the disciples off by themselves to have alone moments with Him? You ever read that in the Scriptures? He took them away from the crowds because He wanted to only talk to them privately. He wanted to speak into their lives and speak into their heart. Well, that's what we're reading here in the garden. This is what God was doing. He wanted Adam and Eve to have their personal time together and enjoy one another and all the things that He'd given them to enjoy. He wanted them to have that to themselves. But every day, every time, there was an appointed time in the spirit of the day, in the cool of the day, that the Father would come, that Jesus would come and minister to them. And so I like to call these garden walk times. No matter when you do your devotion, but that's mine mainly. And then I'll go sometimes back here on the hill where I have a bench set up. But those are garden times. Those are times that's for me and the Lord. My wife not there, it's just me. Me and the Lord. And God speaking into my life. Now, I want you to see this in a prophetic picture. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 5, and you remember, prophecy can be metaphoric, it can reach across time, but we catch a glimpse of this in Isaiah chapter 5. I want to read just the first. Well, did I give you Isaiah 51, or did I tell you Isaiah 5? Okay, get in the spirit and go with me to Isaiah 51. And just drop down to verse number 3. I'm just trying to pick out one verse or two as we go along. Indeed, the Lord will comfort Zion. Have you ever need comforting? The Lord will comfort Zion. This is Isaiah 51:3. He will comfort all her waste places. You ever had any waste places in your life? Well, He'll comfort. And her wilderness He will make like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and sound of a melody. Doesn't it change you? When you have your appointed time, or your time of visitation with the Lord, or your time whatever it may be, because we're all going to have troubled moments in our life. And he talks about it being a garden, like the Garden of Eden, he calls it that. These times that God is speaking very clearly and very wonderfully in our life. This is why you'll find some believers that are joyful all the time. All the time they're joyful. I mean, they'll just start singing for no reason. You don't see any reason whatsoever why they're singing. They just burst out. I almost have to be ashamed of myself sometimes, because sometimes I'll be in a conversation with somebody and we'll be talking and I'll just start singing. And it's not that they're boring me. It's that there's something inside of me that's got to come out. The joy of the Lord is your strength. These garden walks, that's where you see these, I hate to use fantastic, you see these scriptures, these Christians that never seem to be down, no matter what's happening around them. It's because of this. Because God's speaking into their chaos, or God's speaking into their life, whatever it may be, and they have answers already. They get answers from the Lord. Well, you do that, folks. If you go to Isaiah 55, here's a scripture that you're most all familiar with. You can hear the voice of Jesus in it. Listen to the first three verses. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Why does that sound so familiar? It's Jesus. We're hearing the voice of Jesus. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. You're going to get answers for your life and for your finances and for your whatever your need may be in these garden moments with the Lord. He's going to give you an answer, and you're not going to be doing what you thought you was going to have to do. He's going to show you how to do it and do it right. Are you listening to me? This is important information, folks. If I only had one message to leave with you, this would be it. Why do you spend money for what's not bread? Why are you spending your money on everything else? You don't have to work your finances. And your wages for what does not satisfy. Now listen carefully to me. Do you see it? You ought to underline it. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. I'm going to teach you faith. I'm going to give you faith. I want you to come to a place where trust is not even a question in your life anymore. I want you to listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in the abundance of the kingdom. That is kingdom life. Jesus said, the thief comes, kill, steal, and destroy. I came that you might have life and have it abundant. This is the same Jesus that we're reading in the Gospels. You're hearing right here. You're hearing almost word for word. Folks, this is how we learned to walk the faith a long time ago. I would never say this to you in a bragging way, but let me just say it to you this way. There are principles in God's Word that can shape your life if you'll learn to walk in them. One of the brother ministers the other day was making a comment that about living by faith, the only thing you had to have was a car payment and a house payment. Well, I had to say something. I just couldn't sit there and listen to that. Nathan was there. Folks, I haven't had a car payment in 35 years, and I'm not bragging. It does cost you to listen to the Lord, because you're going to do things that are 180 degrees out of phase with the way the world does things. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, this is what God, you know, this is what God showed me. I don't know how he's going to tell you to do anything. But do you hear the language here? In verse 3, incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I'm going to show you how to live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercy shown to David. I'm going to give you the Abrahamic walk. I'm going to give you the Davidic walk. I'm going to show you how to do things. Now, you're going to have to listen to me, and you have to learn to do things my way. Learn to walk with me. Don't just jump out there and plunge off in an area that you're not acquainted with. Don't just do something because Brother Buddy did it or somebody else did it. He said, what I want you to do is learn to listen to me. I will teach you how to live. Do you see that? You see, folks, there's never been a covenant like the covenant of Christ. There's never been one like that. And so what comes out of the garden walk for you? I like to call it the singing heart. Now listen to me, folks. If you're in the mully grubs most of the time, how do I describe this? How do I describe this by being very kind? If you're always struggling with your thought life, and you're in the mully grubs all the time, and you hate coming to church, but you know you gotta come because Hey, Elizabeth. You just don't know what to do next. There's a reason for that. Don't come to me and ask me what you need to do. Go to the same one I go to and find out from him what he wants you to do. If there's ever been a lesson taught in this ministry, that has been the lesson from day one. God will teach you. Living by faith is not working five principles of anything. It is listening to the voice of the shepherd. And let him speak into your life and let him give you directions. And he may tell you to do something that doesn't make a bit of sense whatsoever, but if you know it's the shepherd, you can do it.
Amen.
It's a shepherd relationship that we have. He didn't come to create some kind of a religion for us down here, folks. You know that. He came to create a relationship with heaven for his people. So let me bring it to the last area. If there's a single key to the faith walk of a believer, it is found in the testimony of trust. It's found in the testimony of trust that nothing's going to shake that trust. If we depend on our circumstances, if we depend on our emotions, if we depend on what we're seeing, if we depend on anything else, we're missing God's program of faith. Faith is the one faculty of your spiritual makeup that hears from God. Isn't that right? That recognizes the thing of God. If we misplace our faith, we're going to stumble in our lives. This is why the Lord was teaching Israel, get beyond the miracle and signs. I want to bring you to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. And the day they walked into Canaan land, the pillar of fire and the cloud disappeared. No more manna, no more quails. They were going to starve to death? No, they were going to inherit the land of promises. And God was going to open up a new world for them if they would only do one thing, if they would keep their testimony of trust. If you learn to trust in him. And that's what he's talking about. It's, you know, and this really is the heart of the new covenant. If you go to Matthew 17. Matthew 17, verse number 6. Skip that one because I didn't give you the right scripture. But the point I'm wanting to make, folks, is that people are being defrauded today. Christians are being defrauded today. Christians are being merchandised today. Because of the glamorous pulpits, because of these false prophets, because of these merchandisers of God's people, and they're putting their faith and their trust in them. You've heard me say this before. You old timers have heard me say this before. The real problem is when New Testament people try to live in the New Testament on Old Testament faith, on Old Covenant faith. And what I mean by that, in the Old Testament, you went to a prophet. We don't go to prophets today, folks. Now, if God raises up someone to speak in our life as a prophet, that's fine. But we don't run after prophets. We don't seek after prophets. We don't seek after some miracle wonder. These guys are becoming multimillionaires with plenty of homes all over the place, feeding off of people who will not develop their relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus warned about that. The prophets of old warned about that. The apostles warned about that. Showplace religion. I think John 6 is where I want you to go. And just listen. Because you almost hear the same question being asked today in John chapter 6. And if you look at verse number 28-29, these are the Jews that have been watching Jesus do things, but they said to him, "What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?" You have prophetic workshop that'll teach you how to prophesy. You ever look at Charisma magazine? It's filled full of all these big conferences to teach you how to be a prophet, teach you how to do this, how to make money. How to create miracles. I'm not mad, folks. I'm just trying to tell you something I think that you know. Listen carefully. They said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." This is the only work God wants from you, is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, I want to go to John 10, to a scripture that we're all familiar with, because I want to tie it into, if you look at John 10, verse 14, and I'm fixing to bring it to a close in just a moment. But if you listen very carefully to John 10, verse number, I'm going to read verse 14 through verse 16. There's a key here, because what Jesus is saying is found in the prophets. Listen carefully. I want you to see this, because if we don't know who Jesus really is, we're not going to know why we should listen to him. How many folks know that Jesus Christ is the Lord God Almighty? No matter whether you understand the Godhead or deity, that's immaterial. It's to know that somehow, though he's the Son of God, he's the Lord God Almighty. The one that walked and made sound with his footsteps in the garden and walked with Adam and Eve and met them at specific times in their life and spoke into their lives and refreshed their lives is the one who's talking right here. And if you look at John 10, verse 14, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd." Do you hear the language? Listen very carefully. "I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also." They're going to hear his voice through the gospel. "And they will hear my voice." They'll hear my voice, right? I'm going to personally let them hear my voice. "And they will become one flock with one shepherd." Now go back to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. Verse number 11 and 12. Do you have it? Listen carefully. "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day." But verse 11 is what I wanted you to see. This is what Jesus is referring to. He had already spoke through the prophet in the Old Testament that I'm coming, and I'm going to find them. I'm going to come and seek and save that which was lost, and I'm going to search them out, and I'm going to seek them, and I'm going to find them, and they're going to hear my voice, and they're going to know me, and I'm going to know them, and we're going to have personal walk together. Folks, that is personal salvation. Aren't you glad about that? Now, one more. I only have one more scripture. If you go with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse number 16 and 17. As I read this, let's see if you see it. I know you'll see it. Listen to verse 16. "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Did you see verse number 16? Folks, that's the beginning testimony that you have become a child of God, because the Holy Spirit takes away condemnation. The Holy Spirit takes away the chaos and puts into your heart that I belong. A brand new Christian may not be able to put this into words, but they know that they have been born again. They know they've been found of the Lord, and they know that they have life. And that becomes the testimony of your life. And that becomes this is where the testimony of trust actually works from. Amen. And so what happened in the garden? They heard the voice, they heard the sound of the Lord, and he said, "Where are you?" Why did they hide? They hid because of condemnation. They hid because of their guilt. Jesus took that guilt and that condemnation upon himself at the cross. So when Jesus speaks today to the human race, it is without condemnation. Folks, a sinner knows he's a sinner. A lost man knows he's a lost man. He doesn't need to be beat down. That's why the gospel is called good news. He doesn't need to be beat down and beat up. He needs to hear that message from heaven that I love you. Father wants you to come home. My son came into this world, Lord God himself, and died in your place to remove that condemnation. He took Adam's sin upon himself. And now, children, I'm calling. See, that's why the church is the called out ones. You've been called out of darkness, Peter said, into his marvelous light. Amen. I'm reminding you of something that you know, but we need to be reminded, don't we? We need to be stirred in our hearts. We need to be able to carry that message to those that are around us and not beat people up or beat them down. But we need to know what it means to have garden walks. Sometimes we only have garden walks when we're in desperate trouble. Dear God, knocks us to our knees. That's all right. God don't beat you up because you got knocked to your knees. But wouldn't it be a whole lot better if you just met with him every day? Amen. Let me leave you with a story, and I'm going to close here. The pastor saw a man with going into this church at a certain time every day. He didn't know who he was. He wasn't a member of his congregation. Finally, the pastor got real curious because nothing was ever disturbed. Nothing went amiss, but it always bothered him. Pastor, why did you go into church? I used to do that when we lived in Lafayette. When I was in the interim, driving around, there was a Methodist church downtown. It had a sign that says open for prayer. I guess I was the only one that went in there. I used to park my car, go in there and pray. Anyway, this guy, his name, we're going in and pray. So the pastor slipped in one time, hid behind a curtain, and he watched the man. And Jim was his name. He walked down and knelt at the altar, and he said, "Lord," he said, "this is Jim. I just come talk to you today." Oh, pastor just thrilled his heart that anybody would want to come to church, just talk to Jesus. And so the pastor was at peace. But several days later, Jim didn't show up. He didn't show up the next day. He didn't show up the next day. And the pastor became concerned. And he began to call the hospital, and he found out that Jim had been hit by a car and he wasn't expected to live. So the pastor went out to the hospital to check on Jim. He'd sit by his bed, and Jim wasn't supposed to live. But he came one day, and there's Jim sitting up in bed. He said, "Jim," because he already knew his name, "what happened to you?" He said, "Jesus walked in here and said, 'Jim, I just come talk to you today.'" Now tell me that's not sweet. That's the message. See, sometimes God won't let us get by with neglecting him. Okay, he's going to come say, "David, you and I need to have a talk today. Elizabeth, we got to have a talk today, darling." Aren't you glad he initiates that? See, faith is for from him and through him and to him are all things. This is why it can't be a message of condemnation. God's going to, somehow he's going to call us, keep calling us to himself. And he may be in those moments of desperation or problems, but the call is always going to be there. Don't you love him? Isn't it good to serve the Lord? Aren't you glad you came tonight?